You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Any announcements? Okay, go to the scripture reading. It's in Ephesians today, chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, we are seeing a lot of birds coming in. These nice New World sparrows. Now, see, the sparrows and their sparrows. Now, the New World sparrows, there's a whole raft of those, and there's one variety that's got a white crest, white-crested, crowned sparrow. And it's pretty. It's a pretty thing. Seppi was talking to her sister and describing the birds here, which specifically the cardinal. And it was because they don't have them in Iran. There's no cardinals there. And so she looked it up in her book and she was saying, oh, it looks like a rooster. And yeah, so the cardinals are beautiful, aren't they? We have them all around our house because we got feeders on all the main windows. So on my office, there's a window. On Reuben's room, there's a window with a feeder on it. And Seppi's office window, it's got a feeder on it. And then outside, you've got a whole bunch of mainline feeders there. And the birds are just going around the house. They're just going like this, you know. It's pretty crazy to watch. And of course they're leaving all their husks everywhere. All the sunflower husks are everywhere around the house. No big deal. Wind, Oklahoma wind comes by, cleans it up for us. Mostly, some places it gathers around the front door. But yeah, we're still having lots of fun with the birds. Now we're seeing a lot of these orange-winged blackbirds coming in from time to time, and they come in and decimate the food pretty quickly, and then leave. And there's certain times they come and leave. And when they come, most of the cardinals disappear. And as soon as they go, wherever they go, in come all these cardinals, the males and the females, and they're nice and plump, and they're strutting their way around, eating up all the stuff that's in the feeders and on the ground. And I think I'm going to get myself a better camera and start taking some pictures of these things, because they are absolutely gorgeous. And all the other little finches, the chickadees, all sorts of beautiful birds coming in. The titmouse coming in. Now, the titmouse is really interesting because he comes in and he's noisy. Hops on the feeder and then gets a seed and basically whacks the seed on the side of the feeder. So it sounds like a woodpecker. And sometimes quite loud. Bang, 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 bang. What on earth's going on? And here it is, the titmouse whacking out the seeds and getting the kernel in there. And enjoying himself or herself. So we are enjoying the birds, and really great thing. And I think in the winter they get hungry, so it's nice to have food there for them. Well, let's pray. Oh God and Father, we thank thee today for the freedoms we have here in the country, and we ask that those freedoms which are being challenged, Lord, we would fight back. We think, Lord, of the need of the country at this time for leadership. We ask that spirit-led leaders would come forward and be used of thee to restore the country. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the ends. The ends, part two. It's quite appropriate. A little bit of snow falling there. Had a little bit of snow. And you'll be sick of this name. But that's kind of interesting because I came across this children's book online, and I got it as a part of the library system, and I read through it, and it's a very rosy book about Fauci, about how he was raised in this family where the father was in charge of a pharmacy, and he, as a young boy, would deliver the drugs. He's still doing it, right? He's still delivering drugs. And it gives you a story, you know, about a young man in a high school who was small in stature, but he played quite well on the basketball team, where normally a short person would not really cut it. But he was aggressive and fast, and he found a niche for how he could do that. He was also played baseball, and he's pretty good at hitting the ball out on the streets, and had some sort of a record for the distance that he could whack the ball. You know, it's all this kind of stuff, you know. And then it's all about someone who had a modest beginning and then came by hard work to fame and glory. And for a child to read this, it all looks very rosy. I mean, with all the beautiful illustration by Alexander By, it is a pretty book. It's for a child to read, you know. And I just enjoyed reading this thing and looking at the pictures. Somewhat of a budding artist, I always like to see pictures and colorful drawings and things like this. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this is one nice children's perspective that's being given. It's a very rosy picture. Every new disease was a mystery to wonder about, a problem to solve. Doesn't this sound great? You know, this guy, he's raised up to prominence, he's done some hard work, he's got his degrees, and now he's in charge of the National Institute of Health. And here he is. Look what he's doing. He's solving all these problems. Ebola, SARS, that says West Nile, AIDS. Looks good, man. Looks good. The trouble is, you see, there's a non-children's book, a book that's not written for children, although children will be the benefactors from the finances that come from the book. But this book gives you quite a different perspective on Anthony Fauci. And I got a Kindle edition. I also got a hard copy as well. And you might say, why did you do that? Well, because the soft copy is really good for research, because you can do searches. The book is so well referenced, you could just keep this book as a reference book. Once you've read it through, you want to keep it, because you want to keep going back to it and looking at references. So here, see, within the Kindle, you can do a search. So I just put in Ebola, you know, Ebola. And when you look up Ebola, you find some very interesting things about this. So down here in 2018, Gilead entered remdesivir in NIAID-funded clinical trial against Ebola in Africa. This is how he, this is how we know Anthony Fauci was well aware of remdesivir's toxicity when he orchestrated its approval for COVID patients. NIAID sponsored that project. Dr. Fauci had another NIAID incubated drug, ZMAP, in the same clinical trial, testing efficacy against Ebola, alongside two experimental monoclonal antibody drugs. Researchers plan to administer all four drugs to Ebola patients across Africa over a period of 4 to 8 months. Now, these are all referenced, right? So you can click on these things and get all of the original research, right? Which I've done. However, 6 months into the Ebola study, the trial's safety review board suddenly pulled both remdesivir and ZMAP from the trial. Remdesivir, it turned out, was hideously dangerous. Within 28 days, subjects taking remdesivir had lethal side effects, including multiple organ failure, acute kidney failure, septic shock, and hypertension. And 54% of the remdesivir group died. 54% died. They pulled it. The people conducting the trial pulled this remdesivir. Well, guess what is the standard treatment in hospitals today for people who come in with COVID, late-term COVID? What do they do? Well, they give them remdesivir. Get a different perspective, don't you think? If you just read children's books, everything's golden. But when you start to dig, you start to discover a few things. Look at this. This is disgraceful. This is absolutely disgraceful. BBC's heartbreaking 2004 documentary, Guinea Pig Kids, chronicles the savage barbarity of Dr. Fauci's science projects from the perspective of affected children. That year, BBC hired... Oops, this thing's gone out. That year, BBC hired investigative reporter Celia Farber to conduct field research for the film. Down further it says, I found the mass grave at Gate of Heaven Cemetery in Hawthorne, New York, she told me. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was a very large pit with astroturf thrown over it, which you could actually lift up. Under it, one could see dozens of plain wooden coffins haphazardly stacked. There may have been 100 of them. I learned there was more than one child's body in each. Around the pit was a semicircle of several large tombstones on which upward of 1,000 children's names had been engraved. I wrote down every name. You can read the rest of this. But basically these children were used for research purposes concerning AIDS. Orphan kids in many cases. Orphan kids. Who cares about them, right? We need research. I'll tell you what we need is we need Nuremberg 2 is what we need. You know? This stuff went on in this country. This country. Unbelievable, man. I'll tell you, it's unbelievable. This is the film, Guinea Pig Kids. BBC's film. What am I coming to? Well, we're going to learn a larger and more spiritual lesson from this. This is very practical. This should get your attention. You know, it is our responsibility to come to the correct end, isn't it? To be perfected. That's what our goal is. We want to run the race and to come to a spiritual end, which is what we would translate as perfect, to reach the goal, the spiritual goal. Now, there's the child's view. Up the top there's some Greek. Be not children, right? Be not children with that particular understanding. But be perfect in understanding. There's the children's view. There's the adult's view. Notice the two arrows. One arrow is short and the other arrow is long. To get the adult's view, you've got to do some work. If you want a child's view, which will often be incorrect, well, that's easy. That's what's being fed. That's what we have in spiritual circles as well. When it comes to understanding the Bible, it takes some work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Same, right? The spiritual lessons here for us. Workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm afraid, my friends, there's a lot of shame going on at the moment. A lot of shame. Because there's no work, there is just blind acceptance of absolute lies. Now, let's go on a little bit further here. So here is the scripture. This comes from 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children. Okay, we understand that. But in understanding, now notice how the King James translates it. In understanding be men. What it says in there is, but in understanding be perfect. And the comparison was made with children, so that's why the translators put men. Because to be perfect in this context, be men. That's what they mean, right? Become adults. Get an adult understanding. Get an adult understanding. Don't start pushing this baby nonsense, treating the parables like they're little children's stories. What nonsense, man! The trouble is, you see, it takes some work. It takes some work. Here we've got a picture of the book of Acts. And then you've got Acts 28:31. And after that, the ministry of Paul went on. He visited other places. No doubt he went to Spain. Thank you. Get some new batteries. We always need some new batteries, right? Always have batteries in the house. Always need those. Okay, so you notice in Acts, just go across there with me to Acts 28. Let me just show you what I'm getting at here. In Acts, we did this last time to a little great degree. Acts 28:31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. That's interesting. All confidence. No man forbidding him. Without hindrance. It's an adverb. Okay? Teaching. There's the verb. No man forbidding him. Without hindrance. No hindrance. And then it goes, period. Full stop. Full stop. Well, that's interesting. Preaching the kingdom of God. So the ministry went on further and further and further and further. After the book of Acts, more and more ministry went on, going on. But then later on, the revelation of the mystery was given to Paul the prisoner. Because he was put in prison again. There's one imprisonment here, but he was put in prison again later on. And the revelation of the mystery was given to him. We read about that in Ephesians, for example, in Colossians. Now what people are doing today is, in their childlike approach to the Bible, is they want to take us into the book of Acts, where the ends of the ages can be found. The ends of the ages, the goals of the ages can be found. Some of them came to fruition during this time. And what was going on is that there was a ministry given to the nation of Israel, to the Jew first. Here's the passage that we have seen before, 1 Corinthians 10:11. It says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, that's types, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come, as it's translated, unto whom the ends, tetele, ton ionon, of the ages, katentasin, have come. Have come. The ends of the ages have come. Well, wait a minute. That means when you're looking back in the book of Acts, you can see things being fulfilled from what the prophet said would happen. That's kind of interesting. So what you see here, these various ages, and then you'll find that during the Acts, and in that great period at the end of Acts, you find that the ends of the ages have come. Well, that means there is a fulfillment of prophecy going on during that time. The revelation of the mystery is something that we need to differentiate. Look what Ephesians says. Let's go to Ephesians now. So let's start talking about things that pertain directly to us. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why did you do that? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the perfecting. Oh, that's bringing to an end. That's bringing them to a goal. Our subject is the ends. What about the ends when it relates to us? Well, there's a new end here for us. And it relates to this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Look at this. Unto a perfect man. Perfect. Brought to an end, you see. This is the goal. Unto the measure. Now, let's see. Boy, as someone interested in mathematics and statistics and science, when I see the word measure, my eyes enlighten. Measure. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, these These are all ideas which have to be, which have related to the coming to the goal. The goal. And it says this in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more. Oh, look at this. Children. Coming back to our theme, right, for today. Our theme for today. Don't be children in understanding, but be perfect in understanding. Be full grown men. What's the goal that Paul wants for this group of people of which we are a part? To become the perfect man. The metaphor is the man, not the wife, not the bride. No, no. The man, full grown man. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, look at this, and carried away with every wind of doctrine. You see, unless you dig in, you're going to be blown around. Now, the wind will blow, right? The wind will blow. If you're on a yacht, you've got some training on how to use the yacht, you'll be able to use the wind the right way. And when I see wind of doctrine, which is incorrect, I use it. You know, I get stuff coming into the letterbox from all kinds of people, and some of it is nonsense. I don't mind for me personally, because I see it as one of the winds of doctrine, and I can see and I can expose it and I can use it in helping other Christians see what is false. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Isn't that awful? That deception is there. You know, this has universal application as well. That's what it's like for us in this age, isn't it? In the age in which we find ourselves, what do we get? We get all kinds of ends being attributed to our age. They try and put us into those ends. But we're not a part of those ends. Something new was revealed to Paul the prisoner, and we are supposed to perfect ourselves through this knowledge. Do not be children in understanding, but be grown up. Be grown up. And it says down in 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. Man. Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So true. So full of teaching that Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. A great thing. And I've shown you this picture before. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because some of the letters have popped off this thing. Leaving USA, stop and report to the Canadian Customs. Some people don't notice that a border is there. They don't understand that there is a border and in the Bible. And here's a word, which is this word, apaluo, which is firstly translated as divorce. And we talked about this last time, first used Matthew 1, 19 and 20. And here we have this tremendous warning of a divorce for the Jews coming. And down in verse 31 of Acts 28, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him without hindrance. And here is the word telos, coming to an end. Now this is the portion of scripture which I want to cover today. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 15. So let's go there. So when we go to 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's very important now that we get our understanding here. So if this is the book of Acts, then what we're doing is we are going into the book of Acts and reading some doctrine which relates to that time. And we can gain instruction from it. We can go anywhere in the Bible and get some instruction. We want to know what's going on, right, with people of all groups, what God's great purposes in resurrection would be. We want to understand that. We are not a part of the group of people who say that the Bible is largely irrelevant and all we need to do is just cut out a little section of it. No, that's not true. It's all given by inspiration of God and it's profitable, but we have to be careful. We must rightly divide it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and round about verse 24. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. It says this. Then cometh the end. Now notice the word cometh. What do you notice about that word? It's in italics. Why are words put in italics? Well, because Those are words which are not found in the Greek text from which the translators were translating, but they're included to make sense out of the text, because there's a certain density of language when you go from one language to another. Okay, cool, we understand that. Then cometh the end. But let's go to verse 23 to see where this coming might be associated. But every man in his own order, and this is talking about resurrection, Christ, the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now, what I want to warn you about here is that this, when it says in verse 24, then cometh the end, the word cometh is in italics, which means it's added. If you were to look at this verse in the Textus Receptus, then, tautelos, then the end, just says then the end. Now you can say, well, of course, it means that then cometh the end. It seems reasonable to put in there the idea of cometh. The only problem that people might have is that in verse 23, where it says, after that, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end. And they'll associate the two comings to be the same. But in fact, if you look at this, in verse 24, then the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Oh, wait a minute. Can you see the winds? Look at this. When he delivers up the kingdom, when he abolishes all rule. And then he goes down talking about when all this happens. When, there's a certain exception, when the Son himself subjected, and that God may be all in all. In other words, between verse 24 and 28, there is this progression as to when the end comes. But if you just read verse 23 and verse 24 at the beginning, you'll get the idea that when Christ comes, then at that same coming is the end. Do you see the point I'm making? Just get this one little point. It's just a small point. But the progression shows you that one when is connected to another. It's dependent on the fulfillment of another when. And that when is expanded. Let's read it together. So you see the point, right? Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. See the when. For, now here comes the explanation, for he must reign. So the end has not happened when he's reigning. When he's reigning, the end is still future. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. Christ will also come under subjection. Watch. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Well, when's God all in all? Right at the very end, after Christ reigns and he puts all rule and authority down. Then what happens? Then the Son is made subject to the Father. So that what? The Father would be all in all? Doesn't say that. It says so that God would be all in all. You see the point I'm making here? It's just one very simple point, but profound. That when Christ comes, that coming is not the end. It is not the goal. The goal happens after Christ has been made king and reigns and puts down all authority, then he himself is made subject unto him that put all things under him. And then God will be all in all. That's the final goal. And that period of intercession and ruling of Christ needs to be expanded on, right? We need to understand, well, What's going to happen when Christ comes back? When Christ comes back, there's going to be a ruling and a reigning. Well, what's going to happen on the earth? My friends, the prophets told us all these things. The prophets. If we want to learn about what's going to go on the earth, we need to go back to the prophets. If we want to know what's going to go on in heaven, we need to go to Paul the prisoner. Right? Cool, man. It's a rock and roll, man. I mean, this is really cool stuff. I've got more to say, but we are running out of time at this stage. We'll do the Hebrews things with part three. Okay, we'll get into Hebrews. But you can see that there is some tremendous things in here. We started off with the discussion that we cannot be children in understanding. We're but perfect. That is full-grown men. And this has tremendous application to the time in which we are living now, because people are acting like children and just saying, oh, what else do you want to tell us so you can believe the nonsense? You know, absolute nonsense. You've got to say no. Boy, if there's ever a time when the word no needs to be applied, it's now. No. Don't feed us garbage. Have you seen the film Ratatouille? Anyway, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had together. And we thank Thee, our Father, that we have this tremendous truth. And we ask we'd be strong, that we'd be full grown, that the object of this age is that we come to full age. And that's going to be difficult. There's going to be troubles along the way. But we're going to do it, Lord, with Thy help. We pray for all the people who are sick, Lord, that Your Spirit will come down into their lives and heal them, Lord, and that Your will be done in all things. We accept Thy will, Lord, even when it's maybe not our own. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.